Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. I'm so happy you're listening today. I'm very excited to have a number one best-selling author, Pam Thompson, today with her book, Learning to Dance with Life. She's a wonderful woman, and she's going to share about her best-selling book here. And it's a guide for high-achieving women. We'll talk about what prompted her to write the book and the keys to a thriving life in business with actionable tools. It's really also a how-to book to get you to live the best life possible, and I love that it's about empowering women. So let's get her on the line here. Pam, are you there? We have a lot to discuss.
Yes, I'm here, Gary.
Great. I'm so thrilled to have you, and I'm so glad I was helpful to help get your book to bestseller status and to continue it with this interview, sharing it on my circles in social networking and elsewhere.
Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate all the support you gave to me on launch day a couple of weeks ago, as well as you having me on your show today. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I just love the title of the book and a guide for high-achieving women. That's just fantastic because it's so empowering.
Well, I hope so.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what prompted you to write the book?
Okay, well, I'll give you the short answer and the long answer. I hope that's okay.
Oh, we have time. We have 30 minutes, so please, take your time.
Well, what I've noticed is, over the past 10 years or so, a number of my ambitious friends and colleagues started to get diagnosed with different types of cancer, autoimmune disorders such as fibromyalgia, burnout, and adrenal fatigue. And this was all because they were really driven and they were putting their work a lot of times before themselves and their personal life and their own needs. And I had a personal experience which really pushed me to the edge of wanting to write that book. So, So one of the reasons is, from my own experience and from looking around the world at what's going on now, this idea that it seems to have become a badge of honor that we all work 70-plus hours a week and we give, and we rarely reach out for support, but we're always there for everyone. And that's the case with what I found with many high-achieving women who often wouldn't call themselves high-achieving, but they're always giving and taking very little time to receive, and they're always doing, filled up, you know, calendars, very little time to be. So in the past, Gary, I was one of those driven women who always had tons of energy. I was a high achiever. I was from a family that set goals and went for them. And I was always healthy. I rarely got sick until December of 2010. And then things started to change. I was in Afghanistan, and I was working as a technical advisor to the Ministry of Public Health. And I was helping them develop their first strategic plan. And I was building the capacity of internal teams and to do strategic and operational planning. And it was an amazing opportunity from my perspective to be there. And there was so much to do. And it seemed so little time. And what started to happen is, within the first 3 months, I got pneumonia.
Wow.
And within the next 3 months, I got pneumonia again. Then I started to get urinary tract infections. And I kept pushing through. Even though I was fatigued, I kept pushing through because there was so much to do. Maybe you relate a little bit in your
personal life. Oh, yes. I'm a type A myself.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And many of our listeners are as well. But we all want to make a difference in the world. So to do it consciously and take care of ourselves is the gift that you're also giving women through this book.
Well, I hope so. So I'll just finish up here quickly.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fascinating.
Just a
quick question on
Afghanistan.
Did you feel it was the food or the environment that was stressing you, or was just the workload was so high? Because they're, you know, compared to the West, they're pretty backwards there, you know, relatively, except for the military invasion and all that. But did you feel that was part of it, or was it just exhaustion because it's like starting from the ground up in almost a third world country?
Okay, I'd say, yeah, it's a complex country, and it was a complex situation. So certainly the fact that I was in a war zone did have a bit of an impact, but that said, one of the interviews that I was on, the first couple actually, before I got the position, was they asked me what I would do in a really constrained environment where mm-hmm. there was military protection and bodyguards and that kind of thing. And I do yoga and I meditate. So one of the first, you know, one of the things I said is I would be on my mat first thing every day. And I had a lot of my own music, and because that's really important to me. So I brought that with me. So, you know, I feel, yes, it was there. And the other thing was they do have incredible pollution in Kabul. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who stay there for long periods of time do get what's called the Kabul cough, and they're continually hacking. Mm-hmm. So, and it's because there's a lot of dust in the air, but there's also a lot of E. coli and different things because there's open sewers. People actually have squat on the mountains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Surrounding Kabul, and so there's open source, so you're breathing all that in. So definitely there was those two compounding factors. However, the big thing that I really they tipped me over the edge, there's no doubt about it, because I was still eating well and I was doing a lot of the stuff that I would do at home, that be it, albeit in a constrained environment, but I was working intensively because I had less than 3 months to develop a draft strategic plan. And mm-hmm. I'm the sort of person, I like to work with people. I don't like to just to sit with the senior managers or the minister, the high-level people in an organization when I work. I believe in developing plans that people own from the ground up. So mm-hmm. to involve people and work through interpreters and be training people at the same time, it was a huge task. But I, you know, I was up for it. But it
yeah.
did take its toll on my body. And so when I got back from Afghanistan in the middle of November, so I was there for 13 months, much of 13 months, from October mm-hmm. 2010 to middle of November 2011, I thought, well, I'll take a bit of a break. But no sooner than I got home within about 2 weeks, I got an email from a colleague who was a VP at a not-for-profit, an NGO that promotes women's and children's rights around the world. And she offered me a position as a senior health advisor, said, are you interested in this as a, you know, I said, well, as a contractor. And she said, well, you know, we have to be an interview process and such like. And so I threw my hat into the ring, and before I knew it, I was a senior health advisor on 7 projects in Asia and Africa to reduce infant and maternal mortality. Plus, I was the chair of a technical working group on what they called knowledge management. Just
mm-hmm.
a few things on my plate. And I did this
yeah,
for a year.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And I did this for a year, and halfway through, I started to lose my passion, which is really
mm-hmm.
rare. I've never experienced that before. And then I
mm-hmm.
realized I started to get tireder and more fatigued. And then finally, they asked me to renew near the end, only for 2 days a week for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was this close to signing the contract, just to chair the technical working group, not to do the other work. And I asked to sleep on the decision, which I always do on big decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I woke up in the morning, Gary, and I just felt like a lemon that had been wrung dry. Have you ever felt like that?
Rarely, but yes, on occasion.
Yeah.
I call it my crash day, where I just need
yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
So yeah.
That's what I felt like, and I realized in that moment that, one, I needed to take a break, and two, that there was no way I was going to be able to compartmentalize this work into 2 days a week. It was going to overtake my life because of
mm-hmm.
what I'm like and because of what the organization needed. So I got in touch with the VP and the director, and I said, thank you very much, but I'm going to turn the offer down. And they were shocked, and other people that I worked with were shocked, and they said, why, Pam? And I said, because I want to create more balance in my life in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And at that
yeah.
time, I had no idea what that meant or how much time
mm-hmm.
I was going to take off. But I did it. And so
oh,
a lot of 2013 was, you know, studying mindfulness, getting back into really doing meditation every day, reconnecting with friends and family, doing yoga really intensively, and taking time to sleep and just
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah, and it's
life.
Commonly called having a life.
Yeah, as most people would say, exactly.
Yeah, exactly,
so, yeah.
Which is what's needed. So the beauty in this is through those challenges, it also inspired you to write this book. That's what it sounds like, that your learning curve actually inspired you in a very different way to write this fantastic book.
Totally. And another thing that's part of it, and then another thing that happened when I started to get my energy back, because I was so tired and slept like 12 to 14 hours a day for like 3 to 4 months, I started
yeah.
to take this program or listen to this series, you may have heard of Christine Closer and her transformational author experience. Because I knew I wanted to write a book, but I wasn't sort of, it was in the back of my mind, but I wasn't sure exactly how to frame it and what it was going to look like. And I listened to her series of teleseminars with literary agents and publishers, self-publishers, traditional publishers, and I can still remember the moment. It was May 23rd. I put down the phone after probably her 22nd teleseminar in 2 weeks, and it was like I had one of those epiphanies, one of those aha moments where I realized why I was here, who I was meant to serve, and what I was meant to be doing. What I got was that I'm here to help build peace in the world. And when I help a woman find inner peace, she can then build it in her family, her community, her workplace, and it'll ripple out to the world. So it's not so easy to market inner peace. So I'm going at it from a different perspective, but that's the bigger mission.
Yes, but that's true. That's what's needed, too. And I love that you're empowering women, because I think the men have made a mess of the sandbox, and it's going to be the divine feminine, the feminine, to kind of come into balance to just restore sustainability and love back into the world, rather than profit-driven, maniacal, kind of perpetrator energy in business. Great. Well, so with your title book, Dancing with Life, what do you mean by dancing with life? Would you consider what you went through here from tuning into yourself and taking care of yourself better, your dance with life?
That's part of it. And if you play with me, and I invite your listeners to play as well,
yes,
I invite you, Gary, to just close your eyes for a moment, because this will shed some light on what I mean.
Oh, yes, thank
you. Imagine a dance that you love to do or that you love to watch. Have you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now if you want, you can stand up and imagine you're doing it. Just imagine doing it. Feel the music. What do you feel?
Like I'm 20 again.
What else? What sort of emotions are coming out?
Just lively and happy, and the disco era. I mean, I used to teach disco dancing in the 70s, and I'm actually hearing in my mind's ear Get Down Tonight by Casey and the Sunshine Band. So it's a happy time, a youthful time, and just a joyous time. I tuned into it immediately. I even hear the song playing in my head now.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really cool, too, that you taught disco dancing. Another one of your many talents, Gary.
I know, way back when I was a young lad in my 20s.
Well, so this is what dancing with life is about. And, you know, when we dance with life, we feel happy, we feel joyous, we feel free, we feel in the flow. And that's what I want for women. I want that for men as well. But in this book, when I talk about dancing with life, that's what I mean. And what I know to be true is when you integrate the seven keys to what I call creative living in your life, that you will experience more and more of that and that feeling.
That's wonderful. Now, you wanted to share some of the keys with us on the broadcast here. We have a good 15 minutes left or so I think we definitely have enough time here. What were three of those keys in learning to dance with life that gives you tools? And what's associated with each one?
Okay, well, the first key that I'd like to share is listen to and trust in your body's wisdom. And I'm sure based on your background and the work that you do, and probably many of your listeners, you relate to this. That what I know to be true is that a lot of the decisions that I've made from using my left brain and my pros and cons list have not always been the right ones for me. And the ones that I've made using my gut and my heart have always been the right ones. So for me, so listening to and trusting it in your body's wisdom in that particular chapter and the information about that key is talking about the evidence related to that and why it's important to really reconnect with our body's wisdom and get out of our head and into our bodies. And in my work with clients, I teach women how to reconnect with their intuition and through things like body scanning, but also a decision-making tool. So one of the other tools that I find is really helpful for people who are always on the go and find it hard to slow down and ohm out on mountaintops, for example, is a tool from Eastern psychology called a mindfulness walking meditation. You may be familiar with it, Gary.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, and it's basically when we go out in nature, and instead of processing and thinking about all the things that went on today and or thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow, we instead try to really experience our senses totally. So we hear the birds chirping, we smell the sea air if we're close to the sea, we hear the leaves crunching underfoot, we feel the wind on our cheeks. And yes, what happens is every now and again our brain will come in, but what I encourage people to do is start and do this for 30 minutes three times a week and see what happens and see what they notice in their interactions with others and in their own life. And so, yeah, I encourage your listeners to try that out if they feel called.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because our body knows much, and it's with my constellation work that we go for that deeper body sense in the process. Plus, people are in tune with a lot more than they realize. So just stopping and being mindful of what they're really in tune with, and that's actually the strength of our life force, which is different than what our brain tells us to do with our busy schedules. So that's beautiful, beautiful way to tap in. And key number two?
The second key I'd like to share is consciously create left and right brain-body balance. And you know that the left brain is all about logic and rationale and structure, and the right brain is all about creativity and emotion and lack of structure. And I guess one of the things that I love, I'm a natural anthropologist, Gary. I almost did a doctorate in anthropology. I did study some anthropology, but I decided I probably wouldn't spend my life living in Africa studying indigenous tribes or something. So I dabbled. But one of the things I learned is that the Eastern cultures of China and India for, you know, 2,000 to 5,000 plus years have recognized the importance of balance in our lives. For example, in traditional, in Chinese and Indian philosophy, they believe in a hot and cold theory of health and illness. There's certain, you know, heaty foods that people eat when they have a cold illness, and certain cold foods that people eat when they have a hot illness, and it brings their body back to balance. And that hence things like Qigong, Tai Chi, to move energy and to remove, you know, and traditional Chinese medicine, as you know, is based on this idea of removing these energy blockages in our bodies and the belief that disease is caused by that. And so there's that piece, and there's also a more modern piece in terms of the right and left brain. Daniel Pink, he's a really excellent writer, I think, and he wrote a book called The Whole Brain, A Whole Brain Mind. And he provides evidence that in order to be healthy, happy, and successful in today's world, we need to use both sides of our brain. And so I find that really interesting. So a tool that, for me, really helps me get grounded and, you know, on both sides, come from both sides of my body is a balance tool. And I use this tool before I go on stage to speak, before I go into a workshop, before I go into an important meeting, because it really is powerful. And what I do is I close my eyes, and I imagine that I have roots going deep, deep down in the bottom of my feet, way deep into what I call Mother Earth, and I imagine bringing that beautiful earth energy up through those roots, up through my legs, up through my belly, and having it rest in my heart. And then I imagine that I have branches coming out of the top of my shoulders and the top of my head, reaching way up to the sky, the source energy, whatever you want to call it, and then coming, that beautiful loving light and energy coming through those branches, through the top of my head, through my neck, and down to rest in my heart. And so I imagine being supported by the earth and the sky or the heavens, and I just feel that grounding and that I feel that love. And I also feel the power as well in my belly to ground me. And that I find is, and I just breathe and I feel it, and that I find is really powerful to ground me and help me stand in my power, also come from a heart-centered spot, but also to have balance rather than spinning out. I do facilitation, and before, a lot of my consulting business, management consulting business, was designing and facilitating multi-stakeholder meetings and workshops. And before I learned to ground, because I have a lot of energy, I would tend to pick up and spin out. But since I learned to ground a number of years ago, I'm much more powerful in those situations because, yes, I can pick up the energy in the room, but then I can also really feel that grounding. And so for me and other people I've worked with, I've really found it really helpful.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, that's so fantastic. And for anyone who public speaks, that's really essential because, you know, the audience feels that energy. And I love how you tie it into Earth and our physical being, you know, integrating with both simultaneously. I just want to let you know I was really impressed by you being present at my workshop in Vancouver, and you just tuned in so deeply, so profoundly. I just felt so much gratitude with how connected you were. I could feel it instantly. And it was just wonderful to behold, no less with the new modality.
Thank you, Gary. It was an amazing experience. You do incredible work.
Thank you. Now, I want to talk about I understand you're launching a new program here. We have a good 8 minutes or so, so I want to get your contact information. And I'll be posting all this online, so they'll have the direct links online when I start posting.
Sure. Thanks, Gary, for the opportunity.
Yeah, your program.
Within the next week, I'm launching a program called the Creative Living Facilitator Program. And my book, I taught these 7 keys are related to creative living. That's hence the word. And creative living is the conscious cultivation of improved health, happiness, fulfillment, and inner peace in your life. So in this Creative Living Facilitator Program, it's a unique training and mentoring program where I will train and certify women so that they can then train and support small groups of women around the world to integrate the 7 keys to creative living into their lives. And in so being, build peace in the world one woman at a time.
Oh, that's wonderful. That really is. See, you're still doing really big things from a different point of view, so that's beautiful to change the world that way and empower women all over the world. So you don't have to be a 7-figure executive to have these tools. I mean, it's great no matter what economic strata you're in, and it's just so wonderful that you're reaching out to the world in this way. And do you feel more congruent this way, so you're more in tune with you, so you don't have to burn out doing it, and yet you just inspire other women to take the mantle forward out into the world?
Well, that's a really good question. What I know right now is that I likely won't do any more long-term consulting, because it's very takes its toll on my body. And also, I just became a nana in May. So, my son and his wife, he just got married in September. I had a baby girl in May. So, you know, and my partner, Alan, as well, I want to spend more time with him. And, you know, I live in a beautiful place in the beautiful Okanagan Valley of BC, Canada. And so, yes, it'll enable me to stay home because I'm going to do this virtually as well as I'm doing something locally here. And it'll also, as you rightly said, open up an opportunity for women who feel called to make a positive difference. They want to inspire and support others, and they also they enjoy mentoring and working with small groups, and they're also interested in creating an additional revenue stream because they'll be able to use this work to then charge out money or do barter in certain countries if that's what it will work best. So that they can then create an additional revenue stream for themselves as well as impact positive lives of women in their community. And the other piece to this that I didn't mention is that each group, as part of their program, will either identify a local project that they want to support in some way that's empowering of women, or they will design their own project that will empower and support women locally. So that's a piece.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And it starts at a grassroots, too. So it's wonderful you're spreading your tools and what you've learned out. And God knows, you know, whether Africa needs it, Afghanistan certainly needs it. I mean, you could really have a UN committee of women just to, reach out into the world to create these positive changes. Plus, it's empowering. So it's absolutely wonderful to be able to offer that. So we have a few minutes left. How can people get in touch with you and find out about your programs?
Okay. Well, the best way is you can email me at Pam at community.com. Mm-hmm. And that's just like it sounds. I think it's also on the link.
I'm going to put all these live links so that there won't be any. Yeah.
And certainly you can access my Facebook page, which is the same. It's called Creative Living Community. It's, my Facebook page, my business one, has capital C Creative, capital L Living, capital C Community. And I think you probably got, so those are the best ways to reach me.
Good,
I'm also offering for people, if they're interested, a complimentary gift of the first three chapters of my book. So if people are interested in that, they can go again to my website, and there's a page there that Gary, you're going to put the link on.
Yes, absolutely.
Those are the best ways, and very soon I'll be... So if people are interested in the new program, I don't have anything on the web up yet. I'm launching within the next week or so because I want it to start October the 7th. I'll be having information up soon, but the best way to get in touch with me is to watch the Facebook page, but also to communicate with me at pam@creativelivingcommunity.com.
Okay, great. Excellent. Yes, well, we have another minute or two left. Is there something you'd like to close with now that we have that out of the way? And I will put all that information there. And also send me a reminder, and I will replay this and send the link out again October 6th for you, so we give it another boost for your forthcoming launch.
Well, thank you, Gary. I just wanted to say thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show, and I want to commend you. It's been a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's a pleasure and an honor, and I love what you said. We have a minute or so left. I love what you said in Sacred Circles in your book.
Yes.
We are all
women.
Would
you like me to read that poem?
Yes, I would love it, hearing it from you.
Okay,
yes,
well, thank you for the opportunity. Just let me find it quickly here. Good, the six.
Page 19.
Thank you. You know better than I.
Yes, I have it here.
And I wrote it a number of years ago.
It's
we are
wonderful.
All women, connected through the ages, from hunters and gatherers to queens and ladies-in-waiting. Despite our different origins and surroundings, we all endure similar pain, anxiety, and joy. Nurturing is what we're known for, caring for the sick, the wounded, the children, tireless in our cause to improve a lot of humankind. Sitting in a circle with others, hands clasped, I feel the energy of powerful women throughout the ages. I feel their warm blood pulsing through my veins. The time has come to right the wrongs. The time has come for women to unite and be catalysts for peace. No longer can our voices be hushed. The time for action has come. Our feminine qualities of intuition, warmth, and sensitivity enable us to intervene in areas of conflict, to lead the way towards our vision of a nurturing and caring world, a world with love, land, and opportunity for everyone. Women in sacred circles have for centuries felt the energy and interconnection among themselves. Now more than ever, we need the courage to rise up, to take action towards making the world a better place for our families, friends, neighbors, and future generations. Will you accept the challenge?
That's absolutely beautiful. It's so deeply touching, and I'm so grateful to have you. So grateful to have you as our number one best-selling author and guest today with your new book, Learning to Dance with Life. It's been an honor and pleasure, and I consider myself a feminist, so I'm always supporting the feminine because I feel Earth is at a tipping point right now, and it's time for women to just really step up and have their voices heard to make the changes needed, so we can have long-term sustainability in life and on our whole planet. So I can't thank you enough. It's been wonderful to talk to you about your book, Learning to Dance with Life, and I will spread this far and wide with my network of over 6,000 people, and then I will redo it before October 6th, so we have another boost for your upcoming program that you're offering.
Thank you so much. I so appreciated being on your program and this opportunity and all the great work you're doing in the world, Gary.
Oh, yes. Ditto. Thank you very much. And I just have to close right now. So this is Gary Stewart at Conscious Connection, and I've had the fabulous author and woman who's ready to change and shake up the world here, Pamela Thompson, with her new book, Learning to Dance with Life. Until next time, namaste.